The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 8:23, and it's time for us to introduce our usual Friday segment, and we have the band back together again. Why, it's John Hancock. Good morning.
Well, hello. How is everybody this morning?
Great. And Michael Kelly.
Top of the morning, everybody.
Good to see you both.
Yeah.
Just like in the presidential race, where we have the same two people running against each other again, we turn our attention to the St. Louis City mayoral race, yes, where we will have, once again, the same two people running again. Thoughts, Michael Kelly?
It will be interesting to see what happens. It was a very close race last time, within 3 points. And I don't see much changing. These candidates are eerily similar to each other. I think Kara Spencer is trying to find this lane that... Maybe of what traditional Democrats may be left in the city. But at the end of the day, they seem awfully similar to me, and I think we'll see similar outcomes.
I wonder how many people that voted 4 years ago still live in the city, because it seems like it's emptying out. And I don't know that, what did I hear yesterday? They've lost 7% of their population in the last year. I mean, that's crazy. You would think that an incumbent would have trouble in this kind of an environment. So I think Spencer's got a real shot here.
Now, moving on to the presidential election, each campaign came out with ads accusing the other candidate of being racist. And they're citing, I don't know if you guys have seen these ads, but Biden came out with one saying Trump's a racist. Trump came out with one saying Biden's a racist. How ugly do you think that this presidential campaign is going to get?
Well, at least there's, I guess, basis for those claims that were being made in those arguments. We've had arguments of the former president saying the current president has put a hit out to assassinate him. So when you say, how crazy is it going to get? That's how crazy it's gotten. I mean, political violence words and ridiculousness have gotten into it. I don't see it getting any better. I think we're going to go to a boiling point, and like we did with the mayor's race, exactly live through the same thing we did just a couple of years ago in the president's race.
Well, it's going to be an ugly campaign. That should surprise no one, given these two candidates. They don't like each other very much. And, I keep wondering why the Democrats have gone all in with Joe Biden. I think almost anybody they could put up would be able to beat Donald Trump, but I don't think Joe Biden can, and I don't think he will. But it looks like we're destined to head down this very difficult path over the next several months.
Well, Donald Trump is angry about being stuck in court instead of being able to go out on the campaign trail. However, a lot of the people on his campaign, not necessarily as upset as him, John, because I've been hearing reports that without him kind of doing the chaos stuff that he does, his campaign people have been able to do the things that they need to do.
Well, it's inarguable that his numbers are getting better while he's been in this New York trial. And I think the New York trial, was a mistake to go after him on that, because I think it kind of demeans the other cases that are out there that are more substantial. Certainly the documents case, which I don't think we'll ever see the light of day now.
Thanks to that judge.
Right. That's a substantial case. It's worthy of folks paying attention. But I don't think we're ever going to get there.
It's interesting, right, that the two candidates' biggest vulnerability is their own individual speech. The Democrats are on pins and needles about what's going to come out of Joe Biden's mouth, and the same thing with Donald Trump. So anytime you have them inside of a narrow lane, I think it's helpful. And that's surely the case with Donald Trump. Now, last night he went to a rally in the Bronx. You can't believe some of the stuff that came out of his mouth. So I think the more time he spends in a courtroom and not out there freewheeling, probably the better it is for him with not making those landmine ridiculous statements.
What do you guys got coming up?
Curtis Francois is going to be with us. We got the
NASCAR's coming.
Racing?
Yeah.
I've heard a little about that.
Rubin is racing. and like every musician from the 90s right. and 2000s is going to be there as well.
Michael finally ran into a cicada.
Oh, my God. I got a cicada story you're not going to believe.
Okay.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Hey.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by Serta Pro Painters. John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Well, I finally encountered them.
What's that?
The cicadas.
Well, they're everywhere.
So I've been freaked out about them, as you know. We've discussed them here for the past month or so, and they say they're going to be like 62 billion of them.
There's a lot of them out there.
In the city of St. Louis
see my
alone.
Backyard. It's horrible.
I live next to the biggest city park in the country. Been in it every
Forest
day.
Park.
No cicadas.
They don't.
Not a one.
How can they not have cicadas? Even the cicadas are moving out of the city of St. Louis.
So here I am yesterday, a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I'm leaving a doctor's appointment, and right next to the doctor's office is one of these car washes that you stay in your automobile. You just pull onto the conveyor belt and it pulls you through. And the next thing you know, the car looks brand new, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I'm going to get one of those.
Oh.
So I go over there. I put my little money in. I pay my $15. I'm sliding.
$15? You paid $15 for a car wash?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it was one of those really high-tech washes you from every angle.
It's a buffer and the squirter and the dryer. That's all it is.
Right, buffer. Well, it's a long one. It's one of these new ones, John. Maybe you haven't seen them, but, I mean, it's a good, I don't know, 50 yards? I mean, it travels quite a bit, and it does a lot of things in there. That's not the point of the story.
No, no.
So I get out after it blows me dry, and I out there are those little things that you can grab to... You know, suck up some of the dirt that's on your floorboards and stuff.
Oh, it's called a hose.
A vacuum.
A vacuum.
Yeah. So there I am. I go out. Mm-hmm. Don't think anything of it. I pop out, grab the vacuum. All of a sudden, I feel something on my neck. I slap it off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is that? It's one of these cicadas. And I thought, oh, that's my first one. How cool is that? I'm looking at it for a second.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not paying attention to what's going on around me. Then all of a sudden, when I feel one on my leg,
ooh.
I'm like, what's going on? These suckers are swarming my car. I mean, when I say there's 10, there's 100.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Now they're in the automobile.
Yeah, no.
So here I am with the hose trying to suck out the cicadas that are getting in. More cicadas are getting in. I say, forget it.
How are they getting in?
I get in the car.
Because
the door's open with the hose.
Yeah, so sucking the stuff out.
So now I get on the highway, and I'm driving, and I'm battling cicadas.
They are. They're in the car.
And
driving down the road.
So... Great, I had to finally go seek refuge inside the safety of the city of St. Louis, close to Forest Park, where there were no cicadas, and I've now feel your plight as it relates to these ridiculous birds.
Have you removed your vehicle of cicadas?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. Maybe there's one or two left in there, but I haven't heard them or seen them.
I mean, it's so bad in my house. I live in Chesterfield. It's so bad in my house that Farrell's going to let me go here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good.
Well, you should move to the city of St. Louis where it's safe.
Well, there you go.
That's the first time that's been said. Right?
Cicadas, it's the only place that they might die, I guess. No, they're going to be gone in, what do they say, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that? So they're very loud.
They're very
Frank Ladd's over here telling us how loud the cicadas are, which is...
I was sitting in traffic on the highway yesterday on Highway 40. You could hear them coming in through the windows driving.
There must be, within the sound of our voice right now, 5 or 6 people that are driving on the roads out there in St. Louis. And let's get a check on those drivers.
Happy Friday, St. Louis. Every week at this time, the Hancock and Kelly Show jumps into our political segment. And, John Boy, lots happening here locally.
Did you just call me John Boy?
John Boy, lots happening here locally.
Good night, Grandpa.
Good night there, John Boy.
Yeah.
Kara Spencer, the alderman from South St. Louis, who took on the mayor in the last election, lost by 3 points. Continued to serve on the Board of Aldermen, announced yesterday she's hopping back in the race. It will be interesting to see how this all plays out. You made a comment earlier on Total Information AM that you thought Kara Spencer potentially could pull this off, and it would make some sense, right? There's clearly some discontent with the direction the city's going. But the mayor says we're in the midst of a renaissance, John. And the power of incumbency is simply that. It's quite powerful.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see, because I'm not, you know, I don't really do city politics because Republicans, you know, have no chance. So I would be interesting to see a poll on the right track, wrong track question in the city. I would assume that the wrong track numbers would be off the charts. In other words, a percentage of the population that thinks things in the city have gotten off on the wrong track. I would think that number could be in the 70s. And if the wrong track number is that bad, then it will take a good campaign. Spencer's going to run a good campaign. She's going to have a good message. She's going to have to repeat it often, drive it home. But if the wrong track numbers are bad enough that a challenger should win, and I think she's got a real chance to win this thing, but she's got to have a campaign message.
Couple of wrinkles, though. Remember, we're going to be coming off of a November election that happens that's going to consume all the oxygen here.
Yep.
And then we've got the first of the primaries that takes place there in February. I mean, it comes right up. We have a two-tier election. Remember, Tashara Jones and her allies 5 years ago changed the rules on the way that we do elections.
Yes.
So there is group voting. It will be narrowed down to two. Not many people come out in those primaries. So people with strong bases, particularly progressives, are motivated and find a way to have outsized representation. I understand your argument, but remember the rules play out here, and we've had this conversation of prop primaries.
But do the top two from February automatically go forward? So Spencer, it'll be Spencer and Tashara
in
April.
Yeah, exactly. You would
and
think.
But they still have that goofy voting system even in April, right?
Right.
Where you could vote for both of them if you want to.
I believe so, yeah.
You know, I mean,
but it was
who
it was
came
all
up with this idea? It,
the progressives. This is a
you
progressive.
Can vote for everybody.
Yeah, well. It will be interesting to see what the messaging is, because when you look at the two candidates, they both have been considered themselves to be progressive. They both have come from this left-leaning. Now, Kara Spencer has talked a lot about policing and saying she wants to get back to basic government services.
Picking up the trash.
But she's also been a part of that narrative that's saying, hey, we in city government can solve every problem. You know, we're going to take this on, we're going to take that on. So she's going to have to kind of separate herself from that thought, really entrench with some of those traditional Democrats and Southsiders and African-Americans who want to see basic government services come back.
Right.
And dispel this, I don't know, talk that comes from the mayor that everything's going swimmingly.
Well, and, you know, the other problem here, if you really step back and take a look at the way the city charter sets up its government, the mayor's ability to really control much is very limited. This is not a strong city. And so you've got the board of estimate and apportionment, which is the mayor and the president of the board and the comptroller, that those three basically are equal share of figuring out how you're going to spend money and everything else. So the mayor's ability to affect, you know, massive change is pretty limited.
Yeah, it's a very difficult system. Hey, it's a hard job. I'm glad these two people want to sign up to do it. Not many people are talking about it.
Yeah, because you were thinking that there may not be a challenge.
And here we are just going to go through the previous election. It feels quite Trumpian, if you know. Well, moving on, John. Nikki Haley said, hey, never mind. You'll remember about 6 months ago, she was saying that Donald Trump was so unhinged he couldn't even deserve to have a driver's license in this country. She made the case as to why he should never be president of the United States. And this week she says, well, I've considered it. I know I called him an authoritarian, but that's who I'll be voting for in November. I lost some respect for her.
Yeah, you know, look, it's a choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. You know, neither are particularly appealing to, I would say, a majority of the country. So, you know, Haley's an interesting case study because, you know, she was part of the Trump administration. She had early on, people forget, but she came out and endorsed Ted Cruz against Donald Trump in 2016 and was no fan of Donald Trump's then. And her rhetoric on Donald Trump back in 2015 and 16 was stinging. And then Trump becomes a nominee. Nikki Haley endorses him, supports him, ends up as the UN ambassador, serves with him. Then she runs against him, and then she's back to where she was in 2015, and now she's kind of come home again. I think that a lot of Republicans that want a political future, and she must, have found themselves in out of necessity, saying good things and supporting Donald Trump. And I think it's just a political reality that's out there.
There is also a school of thought. Many people, I think this, that eventually someday the scarlet letter of Donald Trump will be something and the Republicans will have to wear. I mean, if he takes us down the road like he did before after January 6th, isn't there eventually consequences to this blind loyalty?
Perhaps on a personal level, perhaps, although I'm not convinced that that's inevitable. But I think the broader theme that Donald Trump is a symptom of and not necessarily the cause is that the Republican Party has changed. It's a populist political movement now. It's a nationalistic political movement. And you see these, you know, 20% of folks that are showing up to primaries and voting for Nikki Haley because they're voting against Donald Trump, you know, I think those folks aren't going to be comfortable in the Republican Party of the future. And a whole lot of other folks have come in. And so, you know, it's a different political movement than it's been. And, you know, I've come to grips with it. It's, you know, not the party that I belong to for the last 50 years, but, you know, things do change in American politics.
Yeah, and you're not the only one who's navigating the changing world of the Republican Party here in Missouri. The governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Parson, has had to deal the entire legislative session with this Freedom Caucus.
Yep.
Some of those Freedom Caucus members went out and said some stuff. Remember when we had the Super Bowl parade and there was a guy that wound up being pictured who was a person of color, they said was being arrested, and he was the one who did the shooting. In fact, he was just a person there reveling in the celebration, had a couple of beers, was not what these senators were saying he was. They're now being sued for slander. The attorney general of Missouri says, I'm going to defend them. And Mike Parson said this week, no, sir, I will not pay any bills as it relates to any of these slander suits. People need to get their behavior together, and the state shouldn't be responsible for this.
Well, he's right. You know, if the plaintiff here prevails in the slander suit, then what Parson's saying is that no state money is going to be used to make that payment on behalf of those state senators, that they're not being sued in their official capacity. And I think that's right. I mean, you do have some immunity as an elected official for things you say on the floor of the legislature or on the floor of
right.
Congress. And I think that's appropriate. But I think the governor's got it right here. And state taxpayers shouldn't have to pony up if these guys are found to have committed slander.
I like to tease the governor, but I think he is spot on here. And on balance, since he came in after that disaster of Eric Greitens, if you look at the term of Mike Parson, I think he will go down in good history in Missouri.
Yeah, he's been
for bringing a stable voice.
Very stable.
At a really unstable time, not only in Missouri, but particularly inside his own party.
Well, and for those among us that like to take that drive on Friday afternoon out to the Lake of the Ozarks from either here in St. Louis or over in Kansas City, I think, you know, several years from now when that Highway 70 expansion is completed, I think that's going to be a signature accomplishment for Mike Parson, because it's going to make a big difference in terms of the state and our economy and our transportation, you know, our ability to be a transportation hub for the country.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's been a necessity that the state's needed for almost three decades, and it's finally coming together. It's good to see. Hey, John, before we step out, for news at the top of the hour, Ohio is keeping Joe Biden off of the ballot. It's the legislature. It's this extreme approach They're trying to stop. This isn't right. It's undemocratic. They're going to have a special session. The governor, a Republican, is going to force them to put Joe Biden on the ballot. We shouldn't be playing politics with who the parties want to run.
Well, the Democratic National Convention is late this year, and under Ohio state law, if a party doesn't have its nominee in by a certain date, then they can't be on the ballot. And the Republicans in the House of in Ohio are refusing to pass it. They'll get that fixed. But it's another sign of just how deeply polarized this country is. And, you know, you hate to see it.
There is no doubt about it. He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. We'll be with you all the way till 11 o'clock right here. We'll join Amy and Chris, but you need the news right now here on KMOX.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by Serta Pro Painters. John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Hey, welcome back. Happy Friday. It's a holiday weekend.
It is a holiday. Memorial Day weekend.
Do you thinking, I think we should blow off pool.
What?
I think we should blow off participating in snooker today. I think we should go to the Butterfly House and be a part of that, or not be a part of it, but watch these people eat cicada bugs.
It's ridiculous.
It's weird, right? Like, simply because they're arriving now, we're going to talk about eating them? What? So in 13 years, well, we can eat them again? I mean, it's weird.
I'm not eating bugs. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You've never had a bug?
No, I'm not on purpose. Yeah. I mean, they've flown in my mouth before.
Have you ever seen these, sometimes at the stores, they'll have, like, cricket chocolate? And
we had them in the studio several years ago, the gal bringing cricket dust in here and trying to make me eat it. I wouldn't eat it.
I'm not
eating crickets. I'm not eating cicadas.
Really?
I'm not eating bugs.
Huh. And you're not eating, you know, veggie burgers? You're not doing any of that stuff?
I don't mind a veggie whatever. I like vegetables. I'm a big vegetable fan. I am pro-vegetable.
Really?
I don't like it when you call a vegetable meat, because it's not meat. And a bug is not meat. It's a bug.
Yeah.
And I'm not eating a bug. And I think people that eat bugs have got, you know.
Just the whole thought of it makes my skin crawl. The whole, yes. You know, I'm going to, you know. And then they're saying they're going to do cicada scampi. Like, I thought scampi meant shrimp.
Scampi is scampi. It's what you do. You've got the shrimp out there.
You put the sauce on it, and that's what makes it scampi?
Yeah, you got the dish there, and you put the shrimp in there, and then you put the, you know, stuff in there, and then you got scampi.
You pretty much just said nothing right there.
No, that's how you make the scampi out there. And like they do over at the, what you call them, the Red Lobster, they got that.
For the seafood lovering you.
Yeah, but they're closing all the Red Lobsters, apparently.
They are. I'm going to miss those rolls.
Yeah, they have good rolls.
I read an article that said part of the reason that the Red Lobster's going under is because they came up with this all-you-can-eat shrimp.
Yeah.
And they were losing money.
Well, it's the fattest country in the world. I mean, you got a bunch of fat, like people like myself, for example.
Yeah.
Running around out there, and if it's a contest, you know, we're also competitive.
Yeah.
So when you say it's all-you-can-eat, you got the fat thing going on, you got the competition aspect of it. You got to seeing if you can. If
competition
you can,
being cicadas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you can save some money. I mean, if you can eat more than you pay for, then you've won. I mean, I that's a mistake.
When you went to all you could eat buffets as a kid, did you like especially like high school and college? You know, you go to the Old Country Buffet or something. Did you feel like you won? Like you'd pay your $15 and,
yeah, 15.
But you ate more than $15 worth of food.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Every time. There used to be a reporter at the state capitol named Jim Wolf.
Uh-huh.
And he'd been there forever. Like he went back to into the 1940s. He'd been there so long.
Wow.
And he was probably in his 80s. He had his own little office there in the press row. And he and I used to go and eat the all-you-can-eat buffet. I'm trying to remember the name of the place. It was in Jeff City. And
I can only imagine.
It was, oh, man. I mean, and the dude could eat.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 80-something years
Did
old.
Did they have fried chicken on the buffet?
They had everything.
They had pork,
I mean,
they had beef,
everything.
Crab legs.
No, they have crab legs.
Yeah.
It's Jeff City. But, they had everything at this buffet. Ryan's was the name of the place.
Okay.
Yeah, me and Jim Wolf at Ryan's. Those are some
and you would wolf it down. And, oh, yeah. And did you do dessert too?
Oh yeah, the little soft serve ice cream.
Most of my all you can eat buffet experiences came from when I was in Key Club or Boy Scouts. You know, and yeah. You had to meet or cup whatever it is, Boy Scouts. Yeah, and you'd meet for service projects. I was in for a while. I hated it. I hated every second of it. You're a Boy Scout nut.
I'm an Eagle Scout, buddy.
Yeah. I wanted to be an Eagle Scout, but all the reading and all the merit badges.
You got to get the merit badges. How many merit badges did you earn in the
Boy Scouts? I have no clue.
I had, let's see. So you needed, when I was a kid, you needed 24 merit badges. And then each successive five, you would get a palm on top of your eagle.
Okay.
So I had... I was an Eagle Scout with two palms, so that means I had at least 20, 30.
Isn't it weird that you remember all this?
No.
Do you remember each of your merit badges you won?
No, but you don't win them. You earn them. You go to meet with a counselor.
Did you get the whittling merit badge?
No, I got the basketry, though.
Basketry?
My first merit badge was basketry.
And you usually have to go to college before you can get some credit for doing something with baskets.
I made a footstool out of... bamboo and
are you serious?
I'm not.
Bamboo? That's not even native to here. Where did you find bamboo to make a footstool?
They give you the kit.
Oh, that sounds like quite a merit badge there, you survivalist. You,
it was my first one, and I made a little like a little pin holder.
Oh, a pin cushion?
No. Like a little cup.
Like a little cup to hold your pen?
Yeah.
Where's it at today?
That one's gone. Yeah. And the footstool hung in there for quite a while, I think, after Dad died.
If you were such a Boy Scout guy, did you become the leader of your Boy Scouts for your son?
I was a senior patrol leader.
Well, no, for your son. Like, as he comes along and he's getting into Boy Scouts, do you become the troop leader?
Well,
showing up in your uniform as a grown man?
So, Johnny signed up for the Cub Scouts when he was about eight.
Uh-huh.
And so I took him to the meeting. I went to the closet. There was my old Boy Scout uniform.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Put that sucker on. I took him to the meeting, and all the parents, the little kids are cute, you know, Cub uh-huh. Scout meeting. And so the kids are doing their thing.
And you have your uniform on?
Just the top. I've got, you know.
Is the buttons holding together there when you're doing?
I was, when the kids were young, I was, I don't like to talk, but. So anyway, we're at the Cub Scout meeting, and we're leaving the Cub Scout meeting. And one of the moms comes up, and she says to me, "You have the cutest grandson I have ever seen in my life." I thought, I'm smacking this gal. I mean, grandson.
This is your son?
Yes, my son. And he's 8 years old, and I'm not old enough to be his grandpa at that point. But I've always kind of had an older appearance.
But you have had an older appearance. But that's not your best old person story. When the best one is when you're out with your father-in-law.
So Dad turned 85. And so we're taking him out to the Twisted Tree. Have you ever eaten the Twisted Tree?
I've not been there, but people say it's incredible.
It's quite good. Yeah. Quite good. And so we go in and we've got the family. You know, Johnny's in town, and my daughter and her husband are there, and, you know, Dad's 85. So we get our table, and Georgianne tells the waiter, it says, you know, it's my father's birthday today. So we get through with the meal. He comes out. He's got a little cake with a little candle on it.
Time to sing, right?
Yeah. And he comes out, and he heads straight to my wife, Georgianne. And
yeah.
He leans over, and he says to her, "Now, which one is she?" And he's pointing, and I'm thinking, 85 years old. Good night.
He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. Have you seen what's going on with self-driving cars? It's happening everywhere.
Is that right?
It's what's coming. Would you do it? We'll talk about it after this on KMOX. Hey, wanted to mention the shocking news that came down earlier this week that the Riverfront Times was purchased by a holding company that immediately laid it off and shut it down. And Sarah Fenske and a lot of the reporters over at the RFT now left without a place. And I think the RFT... It's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think it served an important role in St. Louis, and I think it will be greatly missed.
No, I do think it'll be missed, and, you know, I never really much agreed with the politics over there, but, you know, they covered some stuff, and they got in-depth on some things that mattered, and, you know, and it was they were doing journalism. It was real journalism that that paper was doing, and it was out there. It was free for people to pick up. Back in the day, founded by Ray Hartman.
Ray Hartman, and, yeah.
Who's now running for Congress. But, you know, back in the day, the Riverfront Times, very controversial publication in town. And I think, you know, over the course of its life, it left a real legacy.
Yeah, and every major city's had them, right? It's the Village Voice up in New York. You know, something that kind of pushes the cultural bounds.
Right.
Yeah, And I think St. Louis is going to be less without it. You think about some of the great cities that are going on right now. There are these young, up-and-coming Austins, Charlottes, Nashvilles. You know, they're being helped being driven by this progressive thought process that you could see in the RFT and bringing new thought. And I think it's a big loss.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, I thought, you know, but I don't know that any newspaper is doing that well these days. I mean, it's a tough business.
Unfortunately
not. Radio's a tough business, too, for that matter. But
well, everything seems to be a tough business. Elon Musk, the world's richest man, is quickly realizing that social media is a tough business to survive in. But he continues to push the bounds, John, not only on the digital platform, but with his bread and butter, which is Tesla. They're starting to come out with the self-driving automobiles. And I don't know if you've seen some clips on the news,
but they've had a couple of deadly accidents.
Yeah,
with them.
There's been a couple of accidents that have taken place with them. They seem, this is definitely where we're headed, whether we like it or not. This technology is starting to be implemented, and I think there's going to be a day that we won't be driving our automobiles. Of course, if you wanted to drive it, you could, but.
Well,
my car will keep you in the lanes. Yeah. A lot of cars will do that right now. They'll keep you in the lanes. You know, it'll keep you going with traffic, et cetera. But it doesn't have the capabilities that what we're seeing Tesla come out with. And I got to tell you, I don't know that I have the faith in it to sit in a car that's not being driven by a human. I don't know that I could do it. Could you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you seen me drive?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a car that was, like, staying in the lane, that'd be a good plus for me. It parks itself, too, right?
Yeah, but your car, I bet, stays in the lane when you're on the highway and you hit the cruise control. You know, it's got that lane protector stuff, no?
No.
Huh.
No. I gotta pay very close attention when I'm driving that thing because I don't want to endanger the lives.
So this is something you would embrace. So
if
cost was comparable in 3 or 4 years when it's time for John to get another tank to drive around town, would you, and it was the same cost.
Yeah.
Would you get one that would drive for you?
Heck yeah.
And you would be able to sit on Highway 270 and drink
paper.
Your cup of coffee?
Yes.
And you wouldn't have any worries?
No.
Really?
No. It's no different than hopping in an Uber.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably safer than hopping in an Uber because you don't know what the Uber driver's been up to. And you get in this thing, and it takes you from A to B. And if it gets in an accident, so it's the other guy's fault, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you put your seatbelt on, you sit down, and grab your coffee and you get your paper out and your book, whatever you're reading.
Get on an airplane that flies from St. Louis to Kansas City that's being driven by a drone and not a human?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
You're all in for this AI stuff.
Technology, buddy.
Would you get your phone implanted in you so that you didn't have to carry a phone?
No, I don't want nothing.
Oh, like a hearing aid, you know, that you can just have your...
That.
No?
No. Hmm. No.
Have you met these guys that have hearing aids? And, you know, hearing aids today connect with your cell phone.
Oh, I know, yeah. My father-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with a friend of mine, a very prominent attorney in St. Louis, very prominent. He and I are sitting there having a cocktail, and all of a sudden he starts having a conversation. I looked at him and I said, you know, so-and-so, what are you talking about? And he gives me the 1 minute, you know, like the, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But he's kind of looking at me, but he's still talking. And then I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm on the phone. I'm like, how are you on the phone?
Yeah.
And he's got his hearing aid that's connected to his phone. And see, that's not fair. If you're doing it without a device that I can see that you're on the phone, you should have to disclose in some way, you know, like a little red flag next to your
ear. Well, I would do that. I don't want somebody implanting something in my body.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Elon's putting stuff in people's brains, right? He's putting chips in people's brains.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
So, but you would get on an airplane that's not being flown by a human, that's being flown by a computer.
Yes.
Get in a car that's being driven by the car.
Yes.
Well, you've got more courage than I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's, you know, you gotta be up with the times, Kelly. It's technology is very important.
Yeah. What about a pacemaker? There's.
I've got one of those in my future. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but so you're all for it?
Well, I want my heart beating. I have to.
Yeah,
I
think I'd definitely want a pacemaker.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can get preemptive pacemakers.
I don't know.
Like, could you and I go like, listen, we don't have no issues now, but pretty sure there's going to be some coming down the road. You want to put one of those things in early?
Yeah, no, I'll know when it's time. I've got 6 years. So my father and my brother both had open heart surgery at 66. Uh-huh. So mine's right around the corner.
So you've got this on a stopwatch, huh?
Yeah, I'm about ready to roll.
Have you been going to the cardiologist and making sure that you're checking in properly?
Yeah, well, I mean, everything feels fine.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to Curtis Francois.
Yes.
He's the owner of Worldwide Technology Raceway.
He is.
Right across the way, NASCAR is coming to St. Louis, and so is, like, every rock and rap group out there. We'll talk about it right here on KMOX. Hancock, start your engine.
I'm ready, buddy.
Hey, in studios joining us is Curtis Francois. He's the owner of the Worldwide Technology Raceway right across the river right here. And boy, oh boy, do we have an exciting week. It's a week of racing and family fun coming. Curtis, welcome to KMOX.
Great to be with you all today.
And you're going to have a race, but a bunch of concerts and everything else is popping out with this. This is not just about NASCAR, which I want to get into, but let's talk about what you've got coming this week and how spectacular it is.
Well, the big thing is the Enjoy Illinois 300. And this is our third year. We've had two sellouts in a row. And just to see the excitement that comes with that race week, you can feel it already as we're preparing. But, you know, come Sunday at 2:30, we're going to be in for a treat. This year in NASCAR, you're seeing some of the closest finishes of all time. The racing is just fabulous. And so that's coming to town. I call it the circus coming to town. It's like a new city evolves into it at the racetrack. And we're going to see something, I think, that is just going to be thrilling for all the fans.
And there's a bit of tension right now on the circuit, as we all know. We've saw on the national news the fight that took place. These guys are going to be right back here in St. Louis racing against each other, and I doubt that anger has burnt off yet.
Well, I think if anybody has any question that these guys are serious about winning, you know, that emotion sometimes boils over, and that's what happened with Ricky and Kyle. They're both friends, so it's a little tough. I got to be in the middle, and because I can't call who was the winner, who was the loser, whose side I'm on, or any of that sort. But it really is just indicative of the close racing and how important it is to lead every lap that you possibly can, and that really just boiled over at that race. But I think what is the winners of all of that are the fans seeing, just like I said earlier, the best racing, I think, in the history of NASCAR.
Well, and the best racing we've ever had in this town. I mean, you bringing in the very finest drivers in the world here for the third year in a row now. What a just a signature event it is for the raceway. How difficult was it to land that here? It had to be. You had to probably jump through some hoops.
Yeah, it was, you know, we just went about it methodically, year over year of delivering great products. And it started as we were really delivering great crowds for a NASCAR truck race. And then we move into IndyCar with big crowds again. And we were very blessed because at the end of the day, NASCAR called us and we started the conversations. And it didn't happen over a year. This was over multiple years that we talked and built relationships with the France family and the executive team at NASCAR. And eventually it seemed like it evolved into a natural that a cup race would come to St. Louis. We have something very good going for us in St. Louis. I believe the best sports city in the country. That news travels. And when we sold out the first cup race, it was validated once again that St. Louis shows up for the big events.
Well, and what you put together here over the course of 5 days, starting on Thursday, May 30th, culminating with the race on Sunday, June the 2nd, is really an incredible family-friendly experience geared for everybody. There's a lot of entertainment going on here.
It is. It's meant to be a special event, a big event, really something that, that people are going to be able to make memories with their families at this event. And so if you're looking at the race, obviously that speaks for itself. Great, compelling drama on the racetrack. But then you start looking at what we're doing for the families. Kids Zone. Kids Zone is a spot not only for the kids to come play, but a place for the families, mom and dad, to come sit and rest and watch. So at the Kids Zone, you know, it's anything from the cars that the kids can race themselves on a little mini track. The radio-controlled cars that they do. They have a coloring car, so it's a NASCAR, so you can decorate it the way that you want, and on and on. Then you bring in to the NASCAR experience. The NASCAR experience is the adult version of the Kids Zone. So all the fun for the adults there, it's the where the main stage is. So that is just a great opportunity for you know, the adults to come and have a great time in the infield.
Yeah, but there's so much to do. If you're a bicyclist, you can go ride your bike on the track.
Right.
If you're a runner, there's a fan track walk that you're going to get to do. And you've got musicians from local and national musicians going to be here. One of my St. Louis favorites, Fanfare, is going to be there on Saturday at June the 1st at 10 a.m. But you've got some other St. Louis fan favorites like Adam Wainwright?
Yes, Waino will be in the house along with about 29 other artists that will be playing at the Confluence Music Festival. The Confluence Music Festival is a really special event. It's bringing together many different genres of music coming together to play over 2 days. And, it, you know, with three stages, total of 30 artists, you've got everybody from Big and Rich to T-Pain, our big
back
concert. Right.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing to see the list of all that is going to be there.
And tickets are still available, right?
Tickets are still available, right. And we will be selling right up until we sell out. So it is time to be buying tickets for sure now.
Where does somebody go to purchase tickets?
Always the best is to go to the website at wwtraceway.com. You can see what's going on. But, you know, we do pick up the phone. If they call our ticketing number, it's on the website. You can talk to a person, ask that question. Where should I sit? Where's the best seat?
How many seats are in that venue?
So we're at 57,000 total.
Wow.
Yes. And so, you know, we get a lot of people in there, and it's really neat to see that, you know, as of 2022, the first sellout was in 2022 for the facility. So great to see all the people show up and enjoying just tremendous days of entertainment.
Wow. It's so impressive what you've pulled off. What got you involved that you said, okay, I know you were a driver, right? What made you decide I'm going to own a racetrack?
You know, it was a situation where I was the last man standing. Really, it was the track closed.
Right.
They did not have a good purchaser for it. It was only 13 years old at the time. And I was one of the few guys in town that had some understanding of racing through my days racing. But also, I do real estate development in the Metro East. And so was able to put together the conversations to talk with all of the different constituents in the east side of St. Louis here, and making sure that I had support. And that was how it got started. And now it has evolved into what we really feel like is a way to bring transformational change to an area that really needs it.
And on this weekend alone, you're going to bring hundreds of thousands of people to St. Louis who are going to spend money, going to stay in hotels, going to eat at restaurants.
Yes.
This is a huge draw for the entire region.
Yeah, it really is an economic engine for the region, in particular right where we're at there. You know, about $60 million in economic development and economic benefit. And you look at the, you know, the room nights, 12,000 room nights, you know, $12, $13 million in spend on food, restaurants, and all the downstream spend. So it's definitely a mover and shaker in the entertainment world.
How'd you get into racing? Were you a kid when it started, the love affair? Or
yeah, I raced motocross, and like most of us that race motocross, we wound up breaking bones at some point. And so I got out of motocross racing and moved into car racing, and thank goodness I did. But it really has been, there's a gene, I think, in some of us that we like to go fast, always go fast. I've long since retired racing, but I still get on the racetrack a bit.
How do you do on the highway? Are you one of these guys that weaves in and out of the lanes and blows by people?
No comment.
All right. Well, I think we've all run into you from time
to time. How will we know that he's different than anybody else out there?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Once you cross the line in the city limit, all bets are off. You know, there's no law. There's no law out there. Curtis Francois, a delight to have you in studio. Good luck with the Enjoy Illinois, the third annual Enjoy Illinois 300 over there at the Worldwide Technology Raceway.
And give that website one more time, because people need to see the list of stuff here that you have. It's not just the race, folks. There's something for everyone.
Yeah, it's wwtraceway.com, and as you said, there's so much going on. Take a look at it. You're going to find how you fit into this weekend.
Yep, he's got the composer of Hey Y'all going to be singing out there, Adam Wainwright. So thank you so much. Have a great time, and it's nice to meet your daughter, Isabella, as well. Congratulations on your new job with NASCAR and your recent graduation from college. Michael Kelly and John Hancock, when we come back, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we have some plans, and we have some thoughts. We'll share them with you next on KMOX.
That guy over there is John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly, yeah. And it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes,
are you going to be staying in town, or are you traveling?
I am in town for Memorial Day, figuring out what we're going to grill. Of course, first of all, it's a day to remember the folks who've paid the ultimate price for our freedom in this country. And I certainly hope everybody takes some time to remember the purpose of Memorial Day. And so many of us that are from here have family members at Jefferson Barracks. And both of my parents are buried at Jefferson Barracks. Dad was in the Army. I think he hated every minute of it, but he was in the Army. And they I think it's the Boy Scouts still do it with all the flags at all the tombs out there. It's a great weekend to do that. I think the weather's going to be lovely. But for a lot of people, too, it's a big barbecue weekend. And for a lot of people in town.
Oh, don't even say the word.
What?
Are you going to say pork steak?
No.
Okay, good. Continue on.
What's the matter with pork steak?
It's the worst meat out there. It's a St. Louis thing. You all want to cook it up on. You're not cooking pork steak, are you?
I'm liable to, yes.
Okay. Well, good for you.
And it'll be very
tasty.
You'll
be like a dog gnawing on a piece of leather at your house, and you'll feel St. Louis-y. Isn't that great?
You know, sometimes, Kelly, you say things
that are so smart,
that are so ridiculous. And usually it's about politics, but in this case of the pork steak, you're just wrong.
No, I'm not.
The pork steak, if it's, you got to know what you're doing with a pork steak.
Yeah, you got to boil it and you got to make it palatable. That's what you're going to try to explain to me now, that I got to do all this stuff. Who wants to deal with all that?
Because
it's a terrible piece of meat.
It's not.
It is a terrible piece of meat.
And you put the barbecue sauce on there, you get it going.
Boil it in beer.
Yes.
Oh, tell me your recipe.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You're just wrong. But no, I was not going to talk about the pork steak. It's the Greek Fest.
Hey, now.
At Assumption Greek Orthodox Church out in town and country, and they... Well, they do a nice job.
What are some of your favorites that the Greek
Fest? Well, came into work this morning, back in the kitchen. Apparently, the folks had been here. There was a little tray of one of my favorite pastries, the kataif, in there.
This guy is the most square dude I knew until he starts talking Greek, and then he's like... And then I was eating cicadas, and
I'm not eating cicadas.
Polished it off with a baklava.
Yeah, there's some baklava back there. And then another favorite of mine is the Galatabudico. And they got the culambieres out there in the kitchen. Lots of great pastries. And, of course, you go to the Greek Fest, you get the gyro. It's very good.
Gyro.
Yeah, I like my own personal favorite is the pastizo, which is... a Greek lasagna. But so,
where's Assumption?
It's right there. You know,
out west.
Yeah, it's in West County.
Yeah,
I used to have it until I threw it away here.
Yeah, the Greeks they could do the food on Memorial Day and Labor Day.
So St. Nicholas does the Labor Day Greek Fest, and Assumption does the Memorial Day Greek Fest. You know, the interesting. A lot of the folks that are, I call them Americanized Greeks. They've been here for three generations or whatever. Most of those Greeks go to St. Nicholas downtown, but they live in the county.
Right.
The newer Greeks that are just kind of first generation or whatever, most of those go to Assumption. It's very interesting. My wife's Greek. That's how I know all this.
Do you know what a tall Irish guy does when he's hungry on Labor Day? He walks over to the church right there in the West End and he eats Greek food. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's great food.
St. Nick's does
good
a great
people.
Job, and Assumption does a great job, and the food is fantastic. Now, so we'll be partaking of that.
I will be at the conclusion of whatever events you and I participate in today. I'm a sneak onto the hill.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick up some of the tzatziki. I like the spicy tzatziki. And I'm going to grill some tzatziki
this
weekend.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Now, what do you put? So you put them on a hamburger bun, right?
Or a hot dog bun. I mean. You can. Sometimes I'll grill up some little peppers and onions with it.
Yeah.
And put them on top. But, you know, a tzatziki just needs, like, mustard. As
throw
far
a little
as
mustard
I'm concerned.
On it.
I do.
A little
but
onion? Put a little onion
what I've
on
been
it?
Doing since I'm trying to, like, eat less is I cut them up into little pieces, so they're like little nickels, you know, laying on the plate.
The tzatziki.
And then you just eat a little now, eat a little then, eat a little, and you eat less than if you had a hot dog and you're like, I got to get this whole thing in my mouth.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So if you eat the tzatziki on a bun,
you're
going to
eat the whole thing.
More tzatziki, but if you cut it into
But if you cut it up into little pieces and you just have it laying there, then you go and you're
now
watching sport and you go eat on it.
This is good advice.
Yes.
Michael Kelly, helping us all to eat less out there.
I'm trying, brother.
Which is good.
Listen, it's hard. You know, everybody's getting skinny right now. I'm trying to get skinny.
Not everybody.
Yeah.
I'm the only guy. I went to London where you walk 6 or 8 miles a day, and I gained weight. I mean,
you threw caution to the wind. You were eating fish and chips and beer.
I may or may not have had fish and chips.
Did you have a beer?
Yeah, I did. You know, I don't really drink beer. And over there, you'd have thought I was from St. Louis.
Hey, now that you've done the Europe experience and you waited till you were 60 years old to do it, are you like jonesing to get back? Are you like wanting to plan your next trip?
Yeah.
It's special, isn't it?
It's nice, yeah. I mean, once you get over the flight.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
It makes you realize how big this world is.
It's a big world out there, Michael.
It is.
And when you see it from space.
Should we tell the people we'll be here on Monday?
We'll be here on Monday from 8 to 11 or something like that. And
it's going
to
be a lot like this.
Yeah, kind of like this. And Chris and Amy are going to be a lot like this, too, because they're coming in and sitting in the seats that we are sitting in now. But we'll sit with them after the news right here on KMOX.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.